Vice Admiral's log, stardate 61326.1. We found them. It was during a rendezvous at Danaxi Depot, the only habitable outpost within three sectors. Like a watering hole in the arid desert, it's drawn the worst of the quadrant here, including the outlaws who stole the protostar. What Officer Frex failed to mention was their age. Little more than teenagers by human standards. But appearance can be deceiving. The Ocampa are adults at 9 years, while those on the Miri homeworld look like children for centuries. And these thieves are no strangers to deception. Posing as innocent refugees, they deployed an unknown weapon that ripped a Starfleet station to pieces. Once we seize the Protostar, we'll download their logs to the Dauntless and corroborate any lies per Starfleet regulations. Despite our efforts, they escaped into the neutral zone. We nearly endangered our fragile truce with the Romulans and the evacuation dealings there. Jean-Luc would never have forgiven me.
You say we don't know. We say we don't know. We say Drek
Flyers again. How are we all doing?
Good.
Good. We all good? Should we say our hellos?
Yes.
Okay, Izzy, let's start with you. What's your name, Izzy?
Mildred.
Oh, good.
I'm Izzy, and I'm the eldest daughter.
Excellent.
I'm Evie, I'm the youngest daughter.
Excellent.
I'm Sarah, and I am Mummy Davis.
And I am Steve, and I am the father of the group. And this is our Davis Flyer spin-off podcast from Trek This Out, where we discuss, peruse, look for deeper meanings and growth areas for Star Trek Prodigy, of which we've just watched Season 1, Episode 15, which is called, who remembers?
Masquerade.
Masquerade. Who knows what masquerade means?
Masquerade.
A mask,
that's
yeah.
Facade. Masquerade, it's like a party, like a masquerade ball is where you have a mask.
Right, and what does it cover up?
Your face.
Okay, so, right, maybe we'll unpick some of that as we go on. First up, though, I would like you to nominate the character who you most closely identify with in the whole series so far.
Math.
Because?
They kind of just, you know, are. They don't have a meaning. They just are, you know.
That sounds really.
Yeah. Fair enough. Is he?
Rock Tok.
Because?
It's just pretty cool. Just trying to get by. Just living her best life, really.
Ah, Murph is like the silly one of the group, does random stuff. You know, is all crazy and hyper. Yeah.
Okay. Go with that.
Open the ball!
Looks like we found our new security officer.
Sarah.
I am hologram Janeway.
Okay, because?
Oh, just having to keep the whole circus going without consideration for her own feelings whatsoever.
Yeah, I think
we sound like really bad at this, guys.
No,
Evie doesn't have meaning. I'm just living life. Yeah. Mum, we have no consideration for Mum's feelings. I'm interested to see where this could go.
Zero or Jankum, I think. Maybe Jankum. Just wants to be left alone, get with his own thing. Oh, look, I've got things to do. Let me just do them. I'll do them.
Don't join in, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't. It's confusing.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there we are. So, Masquerade, what do we think of this episode? Highs and lows, what are our most favourite and least favourite bits of this?
I think the moral behind this episode...
Straight and on a moral, Eve. I like it. You've been giving it some thought.
Don't change yourself to be better or to fit in better. You know, don't change yourself, basically.
Okay.
You're great as you are and you are loved.
Nice.
That's some deep stuff right there, Eve.
Very good. Can you back up your claim with evidence from the story?
Well, Dahl, like, you know, uses the little gene augmentation thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it changes, like, it, like, brings out dormant races, alien species, sorry, yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, to because he thinks they'll make him better because he's jealous of Okan.
Yeah, okay, all right. Thank you. That's what a great start, Eve. Thank you. Izzy?
I think it was also as in, be careful who you trust and, like, you know who your real friends are, so don't be misguided by the shiniest or funniest thing, system, and think that they're there, have your back. Yeah.
Who are you thinking of there?
O'Connor.
Yeah, okay. I think my memory of O'Connor in that episode of Next Generation was that Wesley sort of was a bit hero worshipy of him, and then all the other grown-ups went to Wesley. No, I mean, he's quite an attractive person, but, you know, he's not going to be the person who sticks by you in the long run.
To be honest, those were the kind of pickles Wesley got in, wasn't it?
Okay, so just do either of those things add any meaning to the title for you?
Definitely. As soon as I worked out what the title meant, I was like, I see.
So in your one, what's the masquerade about?
About Dahl, and you shouldn't hide who you are.
That's my one.
That's Evie's one. Yeah, I thought your one was about trust.
I thought you just meant in general.
O'Connor was putting on this masquerade, like, whole show of him being this great person who can help you with anything, and then the moment any trouble comes, he just went.
So I would slightly disagree with that. I think O'Connor is O'Connor is O'Connor, and he will be a nice guy. I don't think he's putting on an act. I think that is what he is at that point in time. And then the second that he doesn't want to do that thing anymore, he doesn't do it.
That's what I thought. So I jumped on Evie's bandwagon.
Mm. But do you think that's like, in terms of a kids' TV show, that's quite an important thing to know? Maybe we know that because we're adults and we've seen enough people like that.
True.
Whereas kids are likely to be taken in by hucksters and superficial people.
Well, shiny things, isn't it?
Yeah.
Woohoo! Shiny things.
Okay.
That's good. Do that again. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't.
I'm just going to say it now. I find those kind of episodes really cringy. They make me cringe.
Go on.
I find them really hard to watch.
Because?
Like, I enjoyed the episode. Yeah. It was all about, like, self-love, and you don't need to change yourself. And I find that makes me cringe. I don't know why. It just makes me feel like, no.
It definitely needs to be said. It's just the way that some movies or TV shows bring it across. It was more hidden in this episode, I'd definitely say. It definitely takes someone with my kind of enhanced brain, you know, comprehend what this episode
because
is trying
actually,
to get. Because
there are some conflict in the message, because there's the whole idea about exploration and self-improvement, but where does that slip into not losing who you essentially are? Because that's all any of us are trying to do, isn't it? It's just try and be a slightly better version.
And I wonder if Dahl slipped into that because he realised he didn't have any clue of who he was. So was trying to
work out who he was
and decided that actually I'm just going to make myself really cool. Mm. They're the pangs of young love.
Ugh. What?
And I sometimes think as well that I quite like the way he made a stupid decision that he knew was a stupid decision, but he couldn't help himself.
Very relatable.
Because, definitely. I know this is a really bad idea, but I'm going to have to do it anyway. Because I can't not do it.
Have to.
You said pangs of young love. What did you mean?
Sorry, I just meant like, Dahl.
Because
half he was like, I just wanted you to look at me like you looked at Garner.
Yeah.
It's just like, he's jealous.
Now,
actually,
correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's the first time they've gone there, isn't it, in the series? There's never been, it's always been quite, or at least on the surface, quite a platonic relationship, hasn't it?
I'm really stupid.
Why?
I didn't get that at all. No. You're probably right, though. That makes more sense.
Well, this is what, like, higher intellect.
I thought it was a, this is just because I'm old, basically. I thought it was a respect thing.
Yeah.
Well, he wants to be taken seriously as the captain.
Oh, no, she was definitely flirting with Anna.
Yeah, right.
It was the giggles.
Okay.
Oh, good. He was like, I'm going to shove him out an airlock. That's not about respect. Oh, he just disrespects me. So I'm going to shove him out an airlock.
No, I did say that I was wrong on reflection.
Yeah, sorry.
Thanks.
Sorry, Mum. Blimey. Just trying to keep things real.
Cool. All right. So there's an interesting thing. I mean, I know they're all growing and changing because they're young people, but there's an interesting parallel between how Dal's doing that and how Murph's doing that.
Yeah.
Like Murph's, well, how's Murph doing it?
Murph is just growing up, evolving.
Do you think there's much doubt in Murph's mind about who they want to be?
No, they don't know. So they don't have a thing to doubt on. They just kind of, you know, do what they need to do, you know.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Dal is meant, you meant to think he's, regardless of calendar age, he's older than Murph?
Yes.
Like he's got the thoughts of like a teenager and Murph's like a toddler, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely say Murph is more in his toddler era.
Mm.
Just think, I don't know, you guys had toddlers.
Mm. Do you remember who I think, what species I think Murph's going to be?
Melanoid slime worm.
No. You. Oh, I can't remember. I remember you bringing it up. I can't remember what you said.
I guessed correctly on what was going to happen when he came out of the cocoon, might I say.
Mm.
What do you think, Daddy?
I went for species 847.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Mm.
I think, Boo.
I don't think you're right. Sorry.
Boo to that.
Because surely the thing would have picked up when he went through the scanner.
Yeah.
That it was species. Or maybe that's like super classified. I don't know. How did Enterprise finish?
No, because when he went through the scanner, Enterprise. He was a melanoid slime worm.
8472 is Voyager.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's basically
it's the ones who do Borg fighting.
Enterprise is like indie.
Oh. It's got like a whole six episodes just dedicated to species 8472.
Yeah. Remember, there's that Voyager episode where the Borg become like six Borg cubes coming up behind Voyager and they're like, oh my goodness, we're all toast. And then they just zoom past. And they're on the, and then they get destroyed by species 8472.
8472 is like hanging on their ship at one point as well, and it's kind of roaming about the ship.
Toyed.
Whereas Murph,
But we never saw them in their larval stage.
No,
if that's what they had.
That's true.
I don't. Mm. It feels weird that something so gooey and colourful could turn into something so.
Mm.
I don't think.
Well, frog spawn in a frog.
Frog spawn. Did I say gooey and horrible?
Yeah.
I didn't mean horrible. I meant
gooey. Yeah, gooey. Like frog spawn turns into something
colourful,
like frog.
But you've got
colourful. There you go.
You could get like a beige caterpillar that turns into
caterpillar
that turns into a pretty butterfly.
Pretty butterfly.
That's
true. He's already gone through a cocoon though.
Mm. But, you know, totally different species.
We'll have to see, guys. We'll have to see.
Okay, good.
I feel like we're not getting any further in this conversation.
No, but it's cool, though. That's kind of interesting to talk about, I think. Okay, what about other characters in this story? We didn't see much of Zero, did we?
I was interested, like, Zero got, like, electrocuted.
Mm.
And I thought that was going to be bad. I thought, like, maybe their casing was going to come off, but it didn't, so... I guess that was... I was so ready for them all to be like, whatever it is, like, petrified.
So crazy.
Oh,
how did they know... How did they know what the crew of the Protostar looked like?
Who?
The Romulans. How did they know what they looked like?
Why do you think they knew what they looked like?
Because they knew when they were above the crew.
Oh, that's a good point. Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Hmm.
Hmm, don't know. Because the Dauntless crew didn't know, did they? So how did the Romulans know?
Mm.
Intriguing.
And they didn't open a channel to them, did they? I don't think so.
No, don't think so.
Dauntless did, but Protostar didn't.
Mm. Unless they've got Starfleet badges on.
Did they have them?
That's true.
No, because the thingy went, the like genetic augmentation doctor thingy went on about Starfleet. But they didn't know that the doctor didn't know that the crew was Starfleet.
Yeah, okay. Oh, speaking of the doctor, genetic augmentationalist person, did you notice who she said Dahl was an offshoot from?
Ow! Hair for DNA. As I suspected, you're the handiwork of the protégés of Dr. Eric Sung, a geneticist who defected from the Federation.
Wait a minute. Are you telling them Dahl was made in a lab?
As you can see, Dahl is the product of artificial hybrid speciation.
It's when you combine the DNA of different species to create something original.
It appears they began with a sample of an unremarkable humanoid specimen, most likely Homo sapien.
Unremarkable? Human?
Human augment, blended with the most recessive traits of 26 species.
Vulcans, humans...
No, sorry, which geneticist made...
The guy who made Data...
No.
Oh. Eric Sung,
yeah. Oh. Which one's our... I lose track of my Sungs now.
There's so many of them.
Noonien Sung is the guy who made Data. But Eric Sung, is that the one from Enterprise who made the augments? I think that's Eric Sung. And then there's the one from Picard, but that's after
Adam,
this, isn't
Adam?
Is it?
That's...
Yeah. No, Adam, someone else, I'm pretty sure. Oh, they're just a lot of them, and they're all a little bit crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It would have been cool if it was Data's dad.
It would have been cool, but he's definitely Noonien Sung. I never understood why they made Noonien Sung's name so similar to Khan Noonien Singh.
Because he made Khan.
Oh, yeah. Of course he did. Yeah. Well, so, yeah. Okay.
Okay. Actually, no, I've
sort of named himself after that. Well, but they didn't know that at the time. When they made Noonien Sung in that Data episode from Next Gen, they didn't know that was who was going to be the person who created Khan.
Yeah, they did. Maybe
you think they didn't have a big plan?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. I don't... Brothers... Is it Brothers? Is that episode where Noonien Sung appears?
Eric Sung.
Yeah.
Was played by Brett Warner, best known for playing Data. Where did he appear?
Sorry. Anyway, while you're looking that up, I don't think whoever wrote Brothers came up with the name of Noonien Sung, I don't think they had any idea that the Sung family were going to be like the people who ended up creating the what they called in Enterprise. Augments.
Yeah, so he is the Eric Sung is the Enterprise one.
Yeah, okay, cool.
See, I think they thought, oh, we could do something here with that. Khan was genetically augmented.
Yeah, but that was in the real world, that was in, like, in which Star Trek is a made-up series, that was in 1981.
Khan first appeared in the original series.
Oh, yeah, okay, so 1967 then, yeah? Yeah.
No, the movies were made after that.
Yeah, but Khan appeared in an original series episode.
So surely they thought, hang on, we could do something interesting here.
But there was no... What? You think that when they wrote Brothers, they were thinking back to Khan and thinking that this guy who's a roboticist might be some long-lost relative of the person who made Khan?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm not sure about that. I think they just...
Okay, well then, I gave you a solution to the query/problem that you had. You're not going to take said solution, that's fine by me, but I'm not going to sit here and watch you pull out all your hair over why they named two characters similar in a fictional series, okay? Okay, I feel like you might be reading into this a little bit too much.
Fair enough.
And I do wonder if we'd miss the kind of emotional impact of... Dahl's discovery.
Yeah, we're talking about...
Right, yeah, okay.
Yeah, oh no, I actually, I'm a little bit of a sot. When he was like, I just don't want to be a mistake, I was like, stop it!
You like that bit, isn't it? Okay, that bit resonated for you.
You said the whole thing was cringy.
No, the message I found cringy.
Well,
that bit I thought was realistic.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you for that, Isabel.
Well, because there are people who grow up and are told that they're mistakes.
Okay.
And or themselves have told themselves, that was a lot of themselves, that they're mistakes.
Yeah.
So to see a character like that and be told, and another character tell that character that they're not a mistake, maybe that's just something someone needs to hear at an early age to help, you know, get that out of their system.
Right. I like the sound of that.
That's quite a big thing, isn't it? To realise that you don't actually have any parents. You didn't have any parents.
Yeah. Like, his whole point of, like, getting out was to try find people like him, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And there is no one else
and
like
there is
him.
No one else like him, yeah.
And I think it also shows Rocktop's naivety, that she thought that that would be a good thing for Dahl.
She was just trying to help and say the right thing, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She's being a bit Pollyanna-ish about it.
Yeah.
When actually what he needed was for someone to say, that must be really hard. And it's okay for you to be a bit upset about that right now. But remember that you've still got us and we're becoming your family. And actually, you know, maybe one day you'll realise that even though you might not have parents, you have people who care about you. But obviously he didn't have that.
It was a whole new grieving process. So he kind of grieved for parents he assumed existed, but now didn't. And now it's grieving for...
Yeah.
That kind of idea that he comes from a whole community, letting go of that idea. I think that's quite big.
Well, it's like in our house, how we like, do you want to just rant or do you want rationalise?
Rant.
Don't tell me how to fix it. I just want to rant. Actually, yeah, he just needed to rant. Mm. And actually, he was told to rationalise too quickly, I think.
Yeah.
He just needed to rant.
This is all getting a bit deep now, so I'm going to move us on to some plot stuff. Did you...
Sorry.
I'm uncomfortable now. We're talking about emotions. I don't like it. What about the big reveal at the end where Ensign Essentia turns out is a thingy, and then General Grievous comes back?
Oh, my gosh. Literally, you wouldn't have thought that so much could happen in the space of 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Like...
I assume it's the diviner's wife, right?
I don't know.
No, I think it's a rival.
Somebody else they sent back to fix things.
Yeah, I reckon, and he's going to go on a whole, like...
How did they become an ensign so fast, though?
Yeah.
Maybe they got sent back further. Well, let's remember that the diviner had managed to steal loads of races and create a whole mining facility.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
And create a daughter, so... Maybe getting to Ensign isn't so unrealistic.
Yeah, because I was just, when she came in and started speaking to him, I was like, hey, you've dropped your accent, Jamila Jamil. But then she obviously was then in her different character at that point.
I still couldn't hear it. I listened. I was like, Jamila, is that you?
Yeah.
And I couldn't hear it, which I think is remarkable.
I still want more David Diggs, though.
I can't. Who is he?
He's the Andorian first officer. Yeah.
Sounds like Spock.
Yeah.
Literally sounds like Spock. Yeah. I don't understand. I sounded like Jamila Jamil then.
Yeah. Is he the first officer or is he just
an Andorian? He's the first officer.
Is he? Okay.
He looks like Spock as well.
And Jellicoe was in it. Hooray! Admiral Jellicoe. Captain Jellicoe.
Oh, putting his foot down.
Yeah. You're looking at me frowning as well.
Why do I know him?
Jellicoe. So it was the admiral on the screen telling Janeway she can't go through the neutral zone.
Yeah.
He's the captain from Chain of Command who takes over the Enterprise when Picard gets sent on the secret mission to find the Cardassian weapon store thing.
Oh, yes.
There are four lights. Him.
He looks...
Well, it's not him. He's the one in charge of the Enterprise.
Yeah,
that's him. Who makes the Enterprise go on a four-shift rotation rather than three. And Riker disagrees with him. Four shifts sounds better, right? You'd rather do four shifts.
And Riker basically treats him like he's suggested everyone chops their left foot off.
Yeah, yeah. I like Jellicoe more as I get older.
I have never run a starship before, so what do I know about ship patterns?
Right, okay.
My only thought with the four shift pattern is actually maybe you're just meant to do shift off, shift on, and do it that way.
Maybe. No, that would suck.
Which would really suck. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I'd probably trust Riker.
Beta shift? Beta shift.
Right, anything else we want to talk about from this episode?
Why do I feel like the human graphics have got better?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like thought that
first,
as well.
Like, at first I thought, like, the human graphics were a little shoddy. But now I'm like, oh, that actually looks like a human.
I thought on the whole the animation was really good.
Yeah, I agree today, yeah.
I thought the story was really good. I thought it was exciting. I thought it was really well paced. I thought we moved things along nicely today.
Mm.
Yeah. Without adding in extra new complications.
Yes.
And disclaimer, we've just literally watched this episode, but we're a week behind. So the other episode is available to us to watch, the next episode.
Sorry,
and I was genuinely tempted just to go on to the next episode to find out what happened, but we didn't. I think that says something as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How many lights you see?
Four lights!
I asked how many lights you see.
How many lights out of five would you give this episode?
Lights. I quite liked it. I'm gonna go four.
Four.
I really enjoyed it. I'm gonna give it five lights.
Five lights. I might give it five lights as well, actually. Yeah. I'm gonna max it out.
I think the only reason for me isn't a five because I just find that kind of thing a little cringy.
No.
But that's a personal choice.
Mm.
Like story wise, plot line wise, that was fine.
Mm.
That was really good. That was five lights.
Mm.
They just took it down half a light.
Cringe.
For the cringe. Okay. But of course, I think they're very important messages you should tell young children. It's not me.
All right. So I think that draw. Oh, we've got a Twitter comment, haven't we,
to read
out?
Oh,
sorry. Be Suki. Hi, Suki.
Hi. Again, can't do his Brummy accent.
Hi, Lindsay. Hi, Andrea. Hi, everybody else who's ever contributed to check this out.
Here we go.
She's ready now. We're ready. Here we go.
So, as I said, another great episode where the crew come together for Dull. I understand Paul Dull's shock that he was developed in a lab. And when you have an opportunity to enhance your abilities, you're always going to be interested. If only you'd done it away from Noble Isle, a place of dubious, unregulated science. Mm. The fact that Dull was built from so many species is fascinating. Now we just have to control and discover his abilities without an implant. Captain Okama, the charmer, as even he manages to flatter hologram Janeway. But first sign of trouble is out of there. Each member of the Protostar has a designated role aboard the ship. Captain, first officer, engineering, science, helm, navigation, and now we have security officer Murph. Yes! New Murph taking out Romulan hit squad was a delight.
Mm.
Ronnie Cox as Admiral Jellicoe, just as stubborn as before. And finally, the twist at the end caught me by surprise. Can't wait to see what happens. Great podcast, as always.
Thanks, Suki.
And then he says, I forgot medical officer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you did. Good old Zero. Right. There we go.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening, if you did. And if you didn't, we're saying mean things about you, but it doesn't matter because you've never listened.
Hear us.
We'll be back soon, I guess, when we watched. What's the next episode called? Do we know?
No, we don't know.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll find out next week. Same bat time.
It's called Preludes.
Channel.
Preludes.
Okay.
Prelude.
It's called Preludes.
Well, we'll find out this time. Great.
Sorry. Oh, I didn't realize.
What is a prelude? In fact, hold that thought. That's where we're going to start.
Whoa.
Next time.
Cliffhanger!
Okay, goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Long prosper.
Goodbye from me. Goodbye.
Stop moving.
It's okay, Murph. I've got this. You want the captain? You've got him.
Gotten into you.
The battle is in my blood.
I know what's gotten into him. Boosted intelligence, increased agility, reading O'Connor's mind. You got the implant. You cheated!
And I really don't think you were meant to juice it that
much. It's a new me! A better me!
You sure about that?
Hi there. I'm Kate Mulgrew, and I voice Catherine Janeway in Star Trek Prodigy. This week's lesson is to love ourselves for exactly who we are. Each and every one of us is as unique as the billions of stars in the galaxy.
Such interesting mandibula.
The unique coloration. The skull ganglia.
Cherishing all the little things that make us who we are is the best way to start to see and embrace those differences in others.
There's no one else like you. That's cool.
In this week's episode of Star Trek Prodigy, Dahl learns some disheartening news about himself and his origins.
I was born in a petri dish, so I don't have any parents.
His confidence broken. He attempts to enhance his body and mind, only to discover that his friends need and love him exactly the way he is.